This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on community and independent radio stations nationwide. A new report by Oxfam examines the startling increase in global inequality during the course of the coronavirus pandemic. Inequality was already a serious problem worldwide and here in the United States, with rich elites amassing obscene amounts of wealth, while the working poor increasingly struggle to subsist. But over the past couple of years, the pandemic has fueled an ever more widening gap. According to the Oxfam report, which is called Inequality Kills, quote, a new billionaire is created every 26 hours, while inequality contributes to the death of one person every 4 seconds. We turn now to Abby Maxman, President and CEO of Oxfam America. Welcome to the program, Abby.
Thanks so much. Good to be with you.
So first, let's talk about how it was already a problem, because Oxfam obviously has been covering this issue of global inequality for a long time. Oxfam releases a report every year about inequality. But what has changed over the course of the pandemic? We know inequality has been increasing steadily. Did the rate of inequality increase over the course of the pandemic?
It did. It absolutely did. COVID-19 has really created an inequality explosion, and it's been a boom for billionaires. We've seen the 10 richest men, 9 of whom are American, have doubled their wealth during the pandemic, while the majority of people have been condemned to extreme poverty. And there has been an incredible surge of wealth at the very top of society, and we all need to be talking about it. It does kill. Our research shows that inequality is contributing to the death of one person every 4 seconds, as you noted, from things that are preventable: hunger, lack of access to healthcare, and lack of access to vaccines during a global pandemic. And it's a political choice. Governments can end the inequality explosion and can do so, as a starter, by taxing the super rich.
Let's focus in on some of the ways in which inequality is killing people. I mean, when you say inequality kills, what does that actually mean? You know, the idea of inequality, it's an abstract concept. Obviously, when people don't have enough money, maybe are they starving to death? Are they dying from lack of healthcare? What are they dying from?
All of those, you've already started to name them. We see a combination, a toxic combination of death due to hunger. We've seen a dramatic spike of people being pushed back into extreme hunger during the pandemic. Thousands of people are dying per day. A lack of access to health care. We know that those with health care and those who don't have it, there's a difference about who lives and who dies. Climate-related disasters, that affects people unequally and unevenly. We see that. We see the growing ferocity and frequency of climate disasters, and it's always communities of color and women who are the hardest hit. And another area is gender-based violence. We know that people have been home, and we've seen a massive surge in gender-based violence. And our research shows numbers of unprecedented proportion, 15,000 people dying every day for lack of access to healthcare, 67,000 women dying from female genital mutilation and murder at the hands of former or current intimate partners. And in this world of plenty, hunger killing more than 5,700 people each day.
The report addresses billionaires, or maybe I should say wealth inequality, as if it were a virus. How is that a useful analogy? I mean, the COVID-19 pandemic has made apparent to, at least here in the United States, the evils or the ills of inequality. More and more Americans are refusing to put up with the abuse from employers. Is it fair to look at inequality as a virus? So the report refers to something called the billionaire variant.
Yes, it is causing economic violence on those who are the 99% who aren't in that billionaire class. And, you know, billionaire wealth is not a sign of economic strength. It's actually a sign of economic policy failure. This is not by choice or by chance, it's by an intentional political choice that's being made. So there's a lack of both imagination and courage about what can be done. And things like a billionaire's income tax or a wealth tax that can generate enormous amounts of money to be part of the solution. There's common sense solutions. And we know that if the 10 richest men were to lose 99% of their wealth tomorrow, they would still be richer than 99% of all the people on this planet. So there is a way to get the resources needed to be able to invest in things like people, a green economy, those who are on the front lines, a dignified and living wage, and so forth.
I want to ask you a sort of philosophical question, because there is this underlying assumption when newspapers like, say, the Wall Street Journal covers inequality, and that is that we shouldn't demonize billionaires for amassing their wealth. We should aspire to be like them. And it isn't about redistributing wealth and, you know, ensuring that more people get a bigger slice of the pie. It's about increasing the size of the pie. But isn't there an intimate link between how much money billionaires amass and how much money the rest of us lose? Those things are linked. They're not mutually exclusive, right? You can't just have unlimited wealth increase from everybody.
It's a really important point. There's no, you know, billionaires are not a product of some laws of nature. They're a product of unchecked systems and policies that work in favor for them. So there is an opportunity to make real and reasonable, fair taxation. It is, in my view, it is unconscionable that during the pandemic, the 10 richest men, if we use that metric, where their wealth has doubled during the pandemic, they're making $15,000 per second, $1.3 billion a day. Now let's equate that. Let's overlay that with the minimum wage in the United States, $7.25. It has not been changed in more than a decade. That adds up to $15,080 per year. We all know that nobody can live on that. Women, people of color are working multiple shifts, barely to scrape by. Well, the $15,000 a second of extreme wealth can and should be taxed fairly and equitably. There is no reason that those of us who and working people pay more share of tax than billionaires.
So taxation is a very simple, elegant, and direct solution to wealth redistribution, right?
Absolutely. And a billionaire's tax and closing corporate tax loopholes. There are a few very, you know, high levers that can make real positive change. So we have to demyth or debunk the myth that there's no money to fund things like Build Back Better. We know that the key pieces of legislation that have helped people during the pandemic, the American Rescue Plan, which there's data showing the child tax credit, what it did to lift 25% of children out of poverty, the risk of pushing 10 million children back into it because billionaires, the top 700 billionaires, are not paying their fair share of tax.
And the child tax credit is expiring, that small monthly windfall, relatively speaking, for families with children, just a couple of hundred dollars a month, was making a difference, and that's now ending. This is pretty sad that the world's richest nation is, of course, facilitating this sort of thing. But if you had fair taxation, which is a direct, elegant solution, as opposed to tax cuts or credits or the sorts of things that require Americans to jump through bureaucratic loophole, bureaucratic obstacles and have to pass, tests or means testing, if you do away with all of the kinds of complex mechanisms that often our lawmakers suggest as a way to tackle inequality and do the simple thing, which is taxation, that redistribution of wealth, of course, the right wing loves to label that socialism, and supposedly that's going to be the start of some slippery slope toward authoritarianism. But isn't there increasing support for wealth redistribution? There seems to be the pandemic seems to have woken up a lot of people to, you know, the reality of what's needed.
I certainly hope so. I know people, when you talk about what do they want to for investment, what should we invest in? We should invest in our children, in healthcare, in our frontline workers, in those who are providing daycare and elder care. We need to be able to boost wages. We need to be able to remove barriers to allow workers to organize, and we need to protect our freedom to vote. These are all part of the suite of things that can happen and accompany a more fair tax system that has wealthy individuals and corporations paying their fair share and investing in the very things people both need and want.
One of the things that I was glad to see in your report was that we need universal, free, publicly funded quality healthcare, which of course, again, the coronavirus pandemic has made so apparent. So recently here in the United States, the CDC is recommending that people use KN95 or N95 masks instead of cloth masks, that they make use of antigen tests when necessary, if they have to be working in person or be in large groups. And of course, this has exposed the wealth divide here in the United States. Middle and upper class Americans can afford those expensive disposable masks and those hard to access tests, which are really only available online now. And yes, the government is making some available if you go on a website and click on a link and wait many, many days. But that has shown the downfall of our patchwork, employer-based, individualistic healthcare system, right?
Oh my goodness, absolutely. I mean, we've seen, and we know what else is possible in countries that are not the wealthiest country in the world. Costa Rica has pulled off quality healthcare in a decade, and it's a middle-income country. It spends 1/12 per capita of what the U.S. spends on the healthcare system and guarantees health for all, unlike the U.S. A place like Togo in West Africa provided monthly benefits for all informal workers left unemployed by the pandemic and increased its healthcare spending by 2.2% of GDP. And in Argentina, they implemented a wealth tax one time that generated a huge amount of resources to fund protections, social protections for their people. It is possible, and it takes, I just, common sense, action. I don't think people, if they really wanted to understand that this tax cuts versus just all those at the top paying their fair share, that's not unfair. That's fair for everybody.
One of the solutions, or the first solution that your report Inequality Kills, Oxfam's report Inequality Kills, says is social movements, lists one of your solutions. What does that mean? How important are social movements to achieving the ends of redistribution of wealth?
Well, we've seen, I think we've all watched over the past 5 years, the importance and impact of social movements. We need to listen to climate activists, young people who want a very better and different future than they're currently poised to inherit. And we do need to look at the issues of racial justice and racial reckoning and how we show up as an ally, because the whole system has been built to support the wealthy white Americans. And we have an opportunity to make it a fairer, more just system for all. And so solutions here in the U.S. are passing the billionaires tax, requiring billionaires to pay taxes every year as their wealth increases. That just is a no-brainer. And we could also, U.S. and other rich countries really must immediately, we've been talking about this for a long time now, waive intellectual property rules over COVID-19 vaccine technologies so that the recipe can be shared and it can be boosted, production can be boosted everywhere, and so we can wrestle this pandemic under control and ultimately invest in working families. And part of what movements can do is put pressure on our members of Congress and others. We need to pass the Build Back Better Act. It's for the good of our people, our children, and our future.
There seems to be a stranglehold on our political system by the wealthy to ensure they maintain their wealth, however, right? This is a problem. In order to have a healthy democracy, we need to make sure everybody can vote. And yet we have two Democrats, Kyrsten Sinema and Joe Manchin, refusing to allow a change to filibuster rules so that Democrats can pass the Voting Rights Act. Here in California, where I'm based, we have a universal health care bill, a single-payer health care bill, rather, called CalCare, that just came out of committee. And already we're hearing that our Democratic governor, Gavin Newsom, who campaigned on single-payer healthcare or statewide Medicare for All, is skeptical and may not sign it. And already, you know, Democrats in this state where there's a supermajority of Democrats, enough are skeptical of this bill that they may not pass it. So it's just frustrating for people working either in social movements or considering joining social movements that there is such a stranglehold over our political system by corporate influence of our lawmakers. And this is a big part of the problem. I imagine it's a problem globally as well.
Absolutely. Political capture, it's a very real issue and it's a real risk. And all the more, to your point, on social movements, we must keep fighting for what's right, what's moral, what is good for society. We need to fight on behalf of those whose voices are not being heard. The millions of workers, the frontline workers, those who are taking care of our children and elderly, people who are going teaching our children. There is so much that needs to be done, and there's these myths that need to be debunked, and the pernicious shift of power towards the wealthy and that capture that the wealthy have over systems like tax. It's really out of whack. It's egregious. It's an outrage. It's a shame. And it's time to make a change and have common sense solutions that really change the trajectory of where we're heading.
Abby, where can people find out more about the work that Oxfam America does and also get a hold of the report itself?
Thanks so much. Go to our website, www.oxfamamerica.org, and we have a huge amount of resources there, reports, papers, ways to engage, ways to get involved, help you make your calls to members of Congress, and be part of a movement to make real change.
Abby, thank you so much for joining us. We'll link to that website from our site as well. I appreciate your time.
Thanks so much. A real pleasure.
My guest has been Abby Maxman, President and CEO of Oxfam America. We've been discussing Oxfam's new report, Inequality Kills. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. You can access this and other interviews on our website, risingupwithsonali.com, by becoming a subscriber. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify, and follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at RU with Sonali.